Many of us have a romantic image of the artist, a young painter or poet or rock star who drinks himself to death by the age of 40. But some people take up art at the other end of life. That's one reason I went to a Baltimore museum that is showcasing late blooming artists, including John Root Hopkins.
I'm 73, but I've had almost most ailments you can imagine.
You look pretty healthy right
Except
now.
I haven't had cancer yet. But in any event, I feel good. I'm very happy every day.
Hopkins spent his career as a patent attorney, working for inventors with what he called cuckoo ideas. When he retired, Hopkins came up with a crazy idea of his own. He became a painter.
Paint every day, stir up trouble.
What did your family think about all this?
Well, they were really rather appalled in the beginning.
You can understand why when you view a portrait that is now hanging here in the American Visionary Art Museum. Climb up the curving stairs to the second floor, and just as you reach the top step, you are compelled to stop and stare at an 8-foot-tall portrait of suicide Dr. Jack Kevorkian.
This is yours?
Yes.
Cheerful creation here, I guess.
This is a painting. You've painted Jack Kevorkian as the Grim Reaper. He's wearing the dark robe.
Yeah, as Jack the Reaper. Jack the Reaper.
And he's actually holding an actual,
farm tool. It's a scythe. That's a very old scythe. That's probably 150 years old.
Is death a consistent theme in your work?
No, it's not. This happened to be. It might have been at a time when I was near death, but I don't think so.
The Visionary Art Museum displays what's sometimes called folk art, or outsider art, or primitive art, work that untrained people are inspired to create. It's not surprising that this museum would host an exhibition of works by the elderly. A lot of visionary artists painted in their old age. Think Grandma Moses, who's among the favorites of co-curator Lee Kogan.
There is the misconception that the elderly are senile and ready to be shelved away and useless. And this is just examining that notion. We have discovered that so many of the artists that we're interested in are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and there are numerous centenarians among them.
In this museum, you can walk past the paintings of Mose Tolliver.
He's still alive to tell us what he has to say about his art.
Tolliver paints self-portraits in pastel orange and pink, sometimes decorating them with locks of his own gray hair. Nearby hang the drawings of Elizabeth Layton, whose intricate works show every line on an old woman's face. Layton started drawing late in life and believed the activity helped her to pull out of a depression that had lasted 40 years. The story behind those pictures inspires Dr. Jean Cohen, who's a leading authority on aging.
One day, she was basically 68 years old. She's looking in her looking glass, her mirror, and she has the sense, gee, I wonder if I could draw what I'm looking at. And she starts drawing, and she realizes that she could.
Relaxing on a chair at the Visionary Art Museum, Dr. Cohen says many elderly people turn to art during what he calls the liberation phase of life.
It starts to appear in the late 50s, becomes very strong in the 60s and early 70s, and it's that inner feeling of if not now, when? Or if you do something that may be questionable, there's this feeling, what can they do to me? So if it's sort of bold artistic expression, so what? And you come to a time in your life where you know who you are, and you know that if you make a mistake, it's not going to undo the image that others have of you, and more importantly, it's not going to undo the image that you have of yourself. This is a very powerful, liberating feeling.
Cohen wrote about that time of life in a book called The Creative Age. Now he's conducting a scientific study, tracking hundreds of senior citizens who get involved in art programs. His preliminary findings suggest that elderly artists suffer less loneliness and depression than other senior citizens. You might know older people who sense this. Maybe your father starts painting family portraits. Maybe your mother takes up guitar, or your uncle starts working in stained glass. Ted Ludvichok started cutting stone after he retired.
I used to work all my life, and suddenly I felt like I am lost.
Lost until he began carving faces out of stone. Several dozen of his carvings rest on shelves in the museum. So many more carved faces decorate his yard in upstate New York that it is known as the Easter Island of the Hudson River. Ludvichok has no background in art. He's a former contact lens grinder who grew up in Poland. But he started carving when he built a rock retaining wall on his riverside property.
I didn't think about carving, except when I finished that wall. I felt like I was missing something. I was proud of the wall that I finished. Oh, now I save my, you know, no more washouts, no more damage. But still, I have to give some characters to it. So that's how I figure, maybe I put a face. It's people are going to see from the boats, you know.
How did you know how to carve that first face? How did you know what to do?
I didn't know. I didn't even have good tools because it was on the river. I used the railroad spike.
An old railroad spike was down there.
And
because the train goes by on the Hudson River.
That's right, along the river goes.
And you used a hammer and a railroad spike?
Not even a hammer, I had like a hatchet.
Can we just look at this particular carving, which is right next to us here? It seems to me that the biggest challenge here would be the nose, because you've got to carve away. I mean, the stone at least came out here to where the front of the nose is, and you had to carve away the cheekbones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have to dig it in. Yes, I dug it on the eye, everything, you know. This face came pretty good.
Yeah, there's different kinds of faces here. This looks kind of, I don't know, almost Egyptian or Middle Eastern?
Yeah, it's something Greek maybe or Mediterranean, yeah.
This guy looks like Elvis.
Yeah, he's singing maybe. I open his mouth.
He really does. With the eyes, don't the eyes look like Elvis? You've got a police officer
up
here?
That's a police officer. Yeah, he can put not bad. It's a very old one.
You've carved not just a face in this case, but an entire head with a policeman's cap on top.
The cap came, that was the last thing.
And then you've got an actual policeman's shield on the hat.
My grandson hang it up there. No.
The exhibit called Golden Blessings of Old Age is at the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore until the end of next summer. You can also find some of the artworks by going to our website at npr.org. And you might find even more art in unexpected places. John Root Hopkins, the artist who painted Jack Kevorkian, says that he likes to put up unauthorized art displays. He secretly hangs collages inside the men's rooms of some of the world's great museums. He taped a decorated sardine can inside the Visionary Art Museum men's room, and he can claim that his work was displayed in the National Gallery of Art and the Louvre. When he explains his art, John Root Hopkins recalls the day that somebody asked him what he wanted for an epitaph.
And I thought for a bit, and I said, he lived life to the fullest. But my wife chimed in and said, what I'm going to put on his gravestone is, don't encourage him.